So let's get right into God's word as we begin with Psalm 34. Psalm 34, this is a psalm of David when he feigned madness, when he was running away from Saul, and he ended up in enemy's camp, and he disguised himself, and God delivered him. Psalm 34. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul will make its boast in the Lord. The humble will hear it and rejoice. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord, and he answered me, and he delivered me from all my fears. They looked to him and were radiant, and their faces will never be ashamed. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him and rescues them. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. How blessed is the person who takes refuge in him. Oh, fear the Lord, you his saints. For to those who fear him, there is no want. The young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they who seek the Lord shall not be in want of any good thing. Come, you children, listen to me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. Who is the person who desires life and loves length of days, that he may see good? Keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking deceit. Depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. The eyes of the Lord are toward the righteous, and his ears are open to their cry. The face of the Lord is against evildoers, to cut off the memory of them from the earth. The righteous cry, and the Lord hears and delivers them out of all their troubles. The Lord is near to the brokenhearted, and saves those who are crushed in spirit. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. He keeps all his bones, not one of them is broken. Evil shall slay the wicked, and those who hate the righteous will be condemned. The Lord redeems the soul of the servants, of his servants, and none of those who take refuge in him will be condemned. These are wonderful promises to encourage us to trust in the Lord, to not give up, and to praise him, to magnify his name with our lips and by our lives. Well, if 2020, and we are not yet out of the woods, but if 2020 was a year that I considered a year of prayer, then I believe that 2021 and maybe 22 should be a year of praise. Because when God answers our prayers, our response ought to be praise and thanksgiving. Because if we don't do that, then we are showing that we are not grateful people. But Christians are not ungrateful. That's one thing we can say about God's children. In fact, one of the evidences of a true child of God is that he or she has a thankful heart. Very true. And so this morning, I would like to look at Psalm 34. And the book of Psalms is one of my favorite books, the Bible. And I love the book of Psalms because when you read the Psalms, you can find different emotions and feelings and experiences of the psalmist. And we can identify with the the feelings and the experiences of the psalmist and make us realize that we are just like them and they were just like us. And one of the great psalmists is David, King David. And in Psalm 34, David is looking back on an experience that he had when he was running away from King Saul. And he blesses the Lord for this deliverance that God delivered him from when he was right in the presence of one of his very enemies. So let's look at the psalm this morning. First of all, I want to give us the background of the psalm. I kind of hinted on it earlier, but in 1 Samuel chapter 21, I just want to read those verses just to give us the background of the psalm. If you notice in your Bible, at the heading of Psalm 34, you would notice what it says, a psalm of David. When he feigned madness before Abimelech, who drove him away, and he departed. So we find this incident in 1 Samuel chapter 21. And I just want to read from verse 11. So this is David running away from Saul, and he ended up in this place. It says in verse 10, David arose and fled that day from Saul and went to Achish, king of Gath. Now, do you know who was from Gath also? Goliath, right? A big, strapped giant was from Gath. And do you know who killed Goliath? The one who is right in Psalm 34, David. Kill Goliath. So David is in enemy's territory. So verse 10 says, David arose and fled that day from Saul and went to Achish, king of Gath. But the servants of Achish said to him, is this not David, the king of the land of Israel? Of course, David was not yet anointed, but he was not yet coronated as king, but everyone knew that David would be king, even the Philistines here. Why? Because the people were singing the song. Notice in verse 11, is this not David, the king of the land? Did they not sing of this one as they danced, saying, Saul has slain his thousands and David his 10,000s? Indeed, the ladies, the women of Israel, they were actually singing the song because David would now become the king of Israel. And in fact, that's the very reason why Saul became jealous and wanted to kill David, because the people were receiving and acknowledging David as greater than Saul. So David took these words to heart. 1 Samuel 21, verse 12, and greatly feared Achish, king of Gath. Now notice that word feared, because it will be mentioned in Psalm 34. Verse 13, so he disguised himself. Now today, we are all disguised. Can you recognize my face? Oh, yeah. But sometimes you see people with the mask on and someone, you wonder, who is this person? We're all disguised, not because you're running away, but because there is an invisible enemy, of course. But David disguised himself, and he pretended to be one who is insane and crazy. And so he acted insanely in their hands, and he scribbled on the doors of the gate. So you can imagine David with dribbling and scratching on the door and pretending that he is a madman so that they would not recognize who he was. He lets saliva run down on his beard. Then Achish said to his servants, so David really succeeded in his what he was trying to do here. Behold, you see the man behaving as a madman. Why do you bring him to me? Do I lack madmen that you have brought this one to act the madman in my presence? Shall this one come into my house? And so David escaped from the hands of his enemies. And so this incident in the life of David is based upon this psalm. At least that's what we believe because of the heading of the psalm. We would not get into whether the psalm was written many years after, and we would not get into this aspect of scriptures. We'll just take it as it is. And so David begins, first of all, by making a resolve to praise the Lord. And he invites the humble to join in with thanksgiving for his deliverance. He begins with a resolve to praise Yahweh. And he invites the humble to join in thanksgiving with him. I am trying to memorize the psalm, and I noticed that in the rock solid announcement that Rona gave, that this is what you are seeking to do also, to memorize scriptures. And in fact, in my weekly updates, I will be doing this in the next few weeks, learning how to meditate the scriptures, and memorize scriptures, mutter scriptures, and mince scriptures. So I'm seeking to memorize Psalm 34, among other scriptures. But David begins by inviting others after he resolves. And so he says, I will bless the Lord at all times. I will bless the Lord at all times. And so David, first of all, begins by making this personal resolution. He says, I will. Before he calls upon anyone else, he says that he himself, I will bless the Lord. I will bless the Lord. To bless the Lord simply means to acknowledge who God is and to tell him who he is, to acknowledge who God is and just respond to who God is. That's what praise simply is. We read the scriptures and we read of what God says he is, and we also think about our lives and remember what he has done for us. And then we tell God that we acknowledge who he is and what he has done for us. That's what praise is. To acknowledge him. To acknowledge what he has done. And David, being the great psalmist, says, I will bless the Lord. Not just sometimes, but he says that his praise will be permanent, not just personal, but it will be permanent. He will bless the Lord at all times, he says. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. And so our praise to God must be permanent. It must be at all times. It must be continual. Why? Because the Lord is good all the time. All right, God is good all the time. That's what verse 8 says. We'll come to that verse. God is good. And so David resolves to praise the Lord, and that's what God wants us to do. That's what he desires. In fact, it seems as if every Sunday I make mention of the Westminster Shorter Catechism. What is the chief end of man? The first question in the Shorter Catechism. man's chief end, or human's chief end, is to glorify God and to enjoy Him forever. What is meant by the chief end of man? The chief end of man is that which we ought to do. That is our chief aim and design. That's what we should seek after, endeavor to obtain as our chief happiness in this life and in the life to come. That's where we find happiness and satisfaction. You know, there are some people who say that God is selfish because he wants people to praise him. Now, those who say that really don't understand who God is and who we are as human beings. Because first of all, God created us in his image, in his likeness. And so we are a reflection of who God is. And so if God created us, it means that he knows us more than we know ourselves. And if God knows us, or since God knows us more than we know ourselves, and God says that we ought to praise him, and in praising him, that's how we, in return, find happiness, then we ought to do it. Because he tells us in his word. And because he knows us more than we know ourselves. And so God is not selfish when he tells us to praise him. When we worship him, it is for our own goodness, our own satisfaction, our own filling. And so every child of God should find a time of the day in his or her life, time of day set aside to bless the Lord. Doesn't mean that we should be going around 24 hours singing, you know, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord everywhere. But what David is also implying here is that he will bless the Lord in all circumstances. Not just 24 hours per day, but in every circumstance we find ourselves, in the good times and in the bad times. We don't praise him only in the bad times. There are some people who actually praise God only in the bad times. And there are some people who only praise him in the good times. But we ought to praise him at all times, in all circumstances. So David says, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. Not in his heart only, but in his mouth. We ought to voice our praises. We ought to verbalize our praises, not just keep it in our hearts. What we ought to keep in our hearts is God's word. But then, his word ought to come out through our mouths back to him. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. His praise. His praise. We are living in a day. I was speaking with David this morning, and we were just talking about what happened in the U.S. this past week, if you were paying attention to the news. And we were just, you know, chatting, and that, you know, an incident came up. And I was reminded that there are many people in our world today who actually do not glorify God, but they glorify violence and evil. In fact, as I was watching some of the footage of the incident this past week, I actually noticed a gentleman with a Bible in his hand in the crowd as they were seeking to go into the building. He was actually holding up that Bible. Maybe some of you actually saw it, too, just for a few seconds. But I know it was a Bible. And there are many people like that. There are many people who use God and use scriptures to glorify violence. But the Bible was given to us. God revealed himself to us, not that we should use the Bible or use God to do violence to others, but that we should glorify him. That's the purpose of the scriptures. We didn't read the Bible. Anyway, let's move on. It's just crazy. People can use the Bible for such means. So David says in verse 2, my soul will make its boast in the Lord. David boasts in the Lord. Paul boasts in the gospel of Jesus Christ. All the great men and women of scriptures and of history actually glorified God and Jesus Christ. They boast in him. But there are many today who actually love boasting in themselves, in their accomplishments, in their possessions. But a true child of God who has really experienced the goodness of God does not boast in himself or herself or in their accomplishments, but boasts in the Lord. And the reason for that is because all our accomplishments and all that we have, all that we are only possible because God gave us the strength. We cannot accomplish anything if God does not allow it. And I believe that we have learned that lesson over the past year, that God is in control and that we are at the behest of God's power and he can do whatever he wants to do. So David invites the humble. He says, my soul will make its boast in the Lord. The humble will hear it and rejoice. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. The humble, he invites to join in thanksgiving. The humble are those who are poor in spirit, those who are afflicted, those who see in themselves nothing but they see themselves in God. Those who realize that God is the source of all things, that he is their deliverer, the poor and the helpless. You know, someone said that as Christians, when we do evangelism, or even as I stand here and preach, all we are doing is, you know, one beggar telling another beggar where to find bread. That's what Christianity is. That's what evangelism is. It's one beggar telling another beggar where to find bread in God. And we ought to simplify, you know, Christianity and not make it difficult for, like the Pharisees, for people to enter into the kingdom of God. The poor and the helpless and the afflicted, which we all were at some point. There go I, the scripture says, not the scriptures, but someone said, there go I, but the grace of God. And so David invites the humble to join him because David himself was humble before God. He experienced the grace of God in his life. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. And you know what? I can speak of my experiences with God, but I want you to notice, secondly, that David's experience of help is not limited to himself. And my experiences of God's help and your experience of God's help is not limited to you. There are some people who believe that they are so special in the eyes of God that they are the only ones who receive help from God. But notice what David says in verses 4 to 7, Psalm 34. He says, I sought the Lord. So he's speaking of his experience. I sought the Lord, and he answered me and delivered me from all my fears. So that's the reason why David is praising the Lord, because God answered his prayers. He said, I sought the Lord, And he heard me and delivered me from all my fears. And when I read this, I said, why does David say this here? And I look at it very closely. And he says, the Lord delivered him from all his fears. And that stood out to me. He didn't say that the Lord delivered him from death. But he said from all his fears. And that's important because one of the things that Satan tried to do is to keep people in bondage to fear. Fear of death, fear of circumstances, fear of things in this life. Of course, we ought to take every caution against this virus. We ought to take every caution against danger. We do not put ourselves in situations where we can get hurt. But as we take precaution, let us not let fear cripple us. Because that's what the devil wants. And so David says that the Lord delivered him from all his fears. In fact, you recall when Rona was sharing this morning about Job, and she said that, you know, what Satan really wanted for Job is to have him not trust in God. That's what Satan wants. He does not want people to trust in God, and when we don't trust in him, then we become fearful. But David says the Lord delivered him from all his fears. But there are others who are actually experienced the same thing as David. Notice he says in verse 8, they looked to him and were radiant, and their faces will never be ashamed. Verse 6, this poor man cried, and the Lord heard him. Now, we don't know if David is speaking of himself when he says, this poor man, he could be speaking of someone else. But the point he's making here is that his experiences was also the experiences of others. And I can imagine that as we gather together and as we think of other people who are Christians, they also experience the deliverance of God. In fact, as Christians, we have the same experience of being delivered from sin through Jesus Christ. We all have the same experience. Every child of God has been delivered from the fear of death by faith in Jesus Christ. And so David says that the Lord answered him by rescuing him from all his fears, and there are others who have the same experience. And so when we look to God in faith, when we gaze upon his face in faith, it is not in vain. It is not in vain for us to put our faith in God. It is not in vain for us to trust in him. He will hear us. He will answer us. David says, the angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him and rescues them. Isn't that wonderful that God's children have this confidence that the angel of the Lord builds a camp around us to protect us? See, the point he's making here is that nothing can happen to the child of God that God does not allow. Because we are protected by him. And he knows exactly how to deliver us. And then we have this beautiful verse, verse 8. David says, he invites others to trust in the Lord. He invites or he admonishes the community to seek the Lord. For those who fear him will want nothing. Notice in verse 8, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. In other words, we must have a personal experience of God himself, and to taste and see that the Lord is good, to taste God's goodness, is really to seek after him in faith, to trust in him. In the New Testament, in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 3, Peter says that as God's children, we have tasted the kindness of the Lord. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 1 says, putting aside all malice and all deceit and hypocrisy and envy and all slander, like newborn babes, long for the pure milk of the word, so that by it you may grow in respect to salvation, if you have tasted the kindness of the Lord. The kindness of the Lord. Now, God is kind. God is good. Yes, God is a God of wrath. He's angry with sin. He will judge unbelievers. But you know, when I read to the scriptures, God's final word is always a word of grace, a word of kindness. And all we simply have to do is to trust in him. Because God is a kind God. And he's a good God. He is good because he does that which matches up to who God is. God will not do anything that is contrary to his will and to his character. And therefore, he will not do anything to his children that is contrary to his will. When we come to him, he will do for us that which is good because God is good. He will do for us that which is good in the sense that he will accomplish that which he has created us to be for his glory. So this great invitation, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Oh, blessed is the person who takes refuge in him. Oh, fear the Lord, you his saints. Now, this fear is not the fear that drives us away from the Lord. When David says earlier in verse, in our text, where he said the Lord delivered him from all his fears, in verse 4, he says, I sought the Lord and he answered me and delivered me from all my fears. That's a different kind of fear in verse 9. When he says, oh, fear the Lord, you his saints. He's speaking of reverence in God, respecting him, honoring God. Because those who fear him, those who respect the Lord, reverence him, there is no want. And then verse 10, he says, the young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they who seek the Lord shall not be in want of any good thing. Psalm 23, verse 1, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. So here in verse 10, David says that the strongest beast of prey, and maybe Rhonda might mention that tonight, that the lions are the strongest beasts of prey. That's what David says in verse 10, the young lions, they are the strongest beasts of prey, most capable of providing for themselves. He says, they may suffer hunger. They may suffer want, but not so with God's people. And so when we think of, you know, people in the world today who are self-satisfied, who are able to buy whatever they need or want, they have worldly possessions. They are strong in this world's goods and possessions. Even those people will lack because they don't have what it takes to fully satisfy a person. And what really satisfies us is God himself. And that's the reason why David says those who trust in the Lord will not want lack of any good thing. Why? Because God is our satisfaction, not things. is God himself. There's a song that we have in our hymn book. It was written by someone who, when he read verse 10 of Psalm 34, he was actually reading through the book of Psalms. And when he came to this verse, he laid his pen down and he wrote, "Here at the end of the page, I must stop." And he wrote the lines of this hymn: "The King of love my shepherd is, whose goodness faileth never. I nothing lack if I am his and he is mine forever." Do you know that song? "Where streams of living water flows, my ransomed soul he leadeth. And where the verdant pastures grow, with food celestial feedeth." That song was inspired by verse 10 of Psalm 34. The fear of the Lord, the goodness of God. And then David contrasts the Lord's favor with his anger. In verses 15 to 22, I'll go through it very quickly. Notice in verse 15, he says, "The eyes of the Lord are toward the righteous, and his ears are open to their cry." So when we pray, God's ears perked up, as it were, to use an anthropomorphism, a human term. His ears perk up when we pray to him. That's what implication here in verse 15. "The eyes of the Lord are toward the righteous, and his ears are open to the cry. The face of the Lord is against evildoers, to cut off the memory of them from the earth." So God is good, but he's also a God of wrath, and he's angry with sin. Notice in verse 17 it says, "The righteous cry, and the Lord hears and delivers them out of all their troubles." That word "all" is a very important word in the scriptures. I mean, David says in verse 1 that he will bless the Lord at all times. And now he says in verse 17, "The righteous cry, and the Lord delivers them out of all," not some, "of their troubles." The Lord is near to the brokenhearted. Is anyone broken in the heart? Has anyone been broken down and crushed by sorrow and suffering, by affliction? Has anyone been crushed by life's circumstances? Well, the psalmist says that the Lord is near to the brokenhearted. But it is not only those who have been crushed by circumstances that he's speaking of here. He's speaking of those who have been crushed, yes, by circumstances, but in humility, turn to the Lord. Those who have been crushed by sin, but then turn to the Lord in contrition and confession. That's the brokenhearted. Those who turn to the Lord for forgiveness. But you see, the Lord has not promised exemption from all evil. He has not promised that he would remove all the evils, but he promised to remove us from the evils. Notice in verse 19, which is a good verse to memorize, notice it says, "Many are the afflictions of the righteous." Let's read it very carefully. "Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all." The Lord does not say here that he delivers or removes the troubles, but he says he removes us, the afflicted, from all the troubles. Because in life we are not guaranteed, and God has not guaranteed us that we would not always experience evil in our lives and suffering and trials. But what he has promised is that he will be with us, he will rescue us from trouble if we trust in him. He says he keeps all his bones, not one of them is broken. Evil shall slay the wicked, and those who hate the righteous will be condemned. And verse 22, the Lord redeems the soul of his servants, and none of those who take refuge in him will be condemned. So as you read through the book of Psalms, and in life, there are two groups of people, the righteous and the wicked, and there are two destinies. Those who trust in the Lord will never be condemned. Those who do not trust in him, they will experience, unfortunately, God's condemnation. But the encouragement for us this morning from this psalm is that we should trust in him. Trust in the Lord. Because when we trust in him, we will not be disappointed. And the message for us this morning is to let us praise him continually. Let us honor him. Let us worship him. Because he is good. And he is good all the time. Even when we go through life's trials and struggles, even when we are crushed, even during this pandemic, God is still good, and we know that, and we can praise him. And when the world sees us praising God in the midst of these difficult days, they may ask themselves, how is it that these people can be so joyful in the midst of, and, you know, Lord, we pray for those who have experienced difficulties during this pandemic. Many have died. There are many families that are grieving. And we pray for them. We pray for them truly. But in the midst of this disaster, we still can praise the Lord. And when the world sees us praising him, they may ask, what is it that you have that we don't have? And it is God that we have, the God who was revealed in Jesus Christ. So let us, as God's people, trust in him, because God is good. He is good all the time. Let us pray. Father, we thank you so much that you are good all the time. We thank you for keeping us. The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear you. And so we thank you for that, Lord. Father, we thank you for David and Emma's new baby. We pray that you would bless this child. And may this child grow up to be one who loves the Lord. Laura Grace, what a beautiful name. We pray that your grace will be upon Laura as David and Emma raise her up in the fear and admonition of the Lord. And for all the children who were born this year, may you be with them. And all the children at Scarborough Baptist Church, may you be with them. And all our elders, and all those in between, every member, adherent, visitor of this beautiful church, may your grace be upon us throughout 2021. And we pray that you will continue to use us, Lord. Help us not to grow faint and weary. I pray for healing for those who might be sick. Pray for the Rodriguez family again. Thank you for delivering them and for bringing them thus far. Be with Nancy. May you encourage her, and Peter for his health. For Pat and her family. For Manu. And may you give us divine wisdom, Lord, as we seek to evangelize people during this COVID time. Give us wisdom, help us to follow you, because if we do not follow you, we would not end up in the right place. So we thank you, Father, for this day. May you be with us. May you fill our hearts with rejoicing and lift us up from discouragements and fears. Trust in you always. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. and amen.